Hey, it's Bill Gross, and welcome to my weekly real estate market update, where I review both the current news as where we are by looking at statistics, and then tear apart the bad news that's trying to distract you. If you watch me regularly, you know that I often take to task the news industry, Zillow, Redfin, and other online sources as being inaccurate. This week, Business Insider actually has an article that gets it right. It has five great charts that really help you understand where the market is and give you perspective. We'll take a look at that, but before we do that, let's get clear on where the market is and get an update on the actual market statistics. Now, the basics of the word economy is you have buyers and sellers where they intersect. That's where the market is. On buyers, we measure that by the interest rates. That's going to drive the activity. And on the seller side, we look at inventory. So let's take a look at where the buyers are today as far as current interest rates. And the rates had dropped back down a couple weeks ago from almost, actually slightly over 8% to now about the 6.75. It's been this range now for a couple weeks. So after a whole 6 months of a constant march up, and every article was, are they going to go past 8 to 9 to 10? Is a hyperinflation? The answer for today is not yet. And we're now at about 6.75%, which is about where they were in June, and rates that are clearly low enough to drive a lot of buyer attention and pushing buyers back into the market where others had come out. Now, will they stay there? Will the Fed raise that lower it? We talked about that in my predictions a little bit. Hard to say and predict the future, but that's where we are right now. As far as the seller side, the inventory remains at all-time lows other than during the pandemic period. Now, it is somewhat higher than the record of the 2021 pandemic year. It's more in line with 2020 and 22. But you can see that if you look at the chart, it's still way below any non-pandemic year ever. And as long as there are not enough houses to buy for the buyer demand, as long as there's fewer than there should be, given the number of buyers in the marketplace, prices can't go down. Now, they might stabilize. They might stay where they are. And for a long period of time, we'll talk about that. But certainly, they can't go down unless there's excess inventory for sellers to bid against each other to drive those prices down. Now, what's the market like here locally in Los Angeles? Well, here particularly, our market has been pretty much a slight seller's market all year, and it continues that way in Los Angeles. Based on Altos Research, a great source that I use, they're showing our market to be again at a 40, which means there's still more pressure for the seller than for the buyer, and that's again primarily because of the inventory. But take a look at this very important statistic that's often overlooked. Dollar per square foot has dropped significantly to $778. This is how much it cost to buy the average square foot in Los Angeles. Now, this was up to $803 just in October and was even higher before that. So what this tells us is that there's more homes being bought at the lower end with less amenities. That's the market that's still driving. The higher end market is having an adjustment period. So this market is slightly softening, but still you would rate this market today to be a seller's market. Let's take a look at the industry news. And one of the interesting headlines I saw this week was regarding reverse mortgages. Housing Wire had an article, the three biggest reverse mortgage news stories of 2023, and two of those were companies going out of business. And what this means is for those people who have not looked into a reverse mortgage or secured one, those doors are getting tighter to get into because there's less and less competitors. The margins are getting thinner. They're based more in refinancing than purchases. And therefore, like all refinance companies, their business is dropping and companies are falling out tremendously. So reverse mortgages were a great tool. And I do think for some homeowners, you can use a purchase reverse mortgage, keep your current mortgage if it's a low rate, rent out the property or sell it with that mortgage being carried back and profit on the difference in the rate. There are some fancy ways that are getting more popular on how to keep those low mortgage rates. But since the general public isn't keen to that, reverse mortgages are becoming much more difficult. And I think in the long run, that means bad things for consumers as there's less opportunities for business. One of the other big topics in the news has been this real estate commission lawsuit in Missouri. And so what we have now happening is you have these parasitic attorney lawsuits. Attorneys running around every other state to file similar lawsuits. And then the trick is to consolidate them into the Missouri state, which is kind of like a way of saying, hey, our team is going to play football in California, but we want to use the results of the game already played in St. Louis. Obviously, I just find it hard to believe that the entire United States Real Estate Commission program is going to be changed based on one jury in Missouri. I just don't think that's going to happen. I know there are attorneys that are scrambling and see this as their new business opportunity, but I think like a lot of these hot trends in legal lawsuits, they burn for a while and they burn out and they go away. I think that's what's going to happen here. But you know, there you see these lawsuits consolidating, which really just means there's some attorney trying to make some money and ride on the coattails of the company that came before him. Okay, next, state of California continues to make itself unlivable. The latest, the LA Times says, California just banned crime-free housing. Here's why other states should too. So what this genius is telling us, this is Max Griswold, and Max is a genius at the RAND Corporation, which is a place for people with more education and common sense or wisdom. And Max actually believes that you should have neighbors in your apartment buildings and your condo buildings and next door neighbors with criminal records. And if you're a landlord, you should allow more people with criminal records because it's discriminatory. And in his educated sense, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't actually prevent crime overall. So I'm sure Max lives in some secure building somewhere or some home in some remote area. But this is becoming a new policy in California where landlords are limited as to what they can screen as far as criminal records. And landlords are now limited on being able to evict people for crimes. And so more and more, you're going to find people are going to be living next door to you, and you'll find out they're criminal, and you'll think, well, how the heck did that happen? And the answer is the state of California not only wants more of that, but now you have geniuses like Max Griswold saying other states should copy California. Now, Max doesn't account for the fact that more people leave California than any other state because of stupid policies like this, but I'm sure Max and his secure housing environment, or maybe Max is one of those guys who hasn't yet been a victim of crime. You know, to people like Max Griswold, who's a think tank employee at the RAND Corporation, minor crime is crime that happens to you. Crime is only important when it happens to him. So again, this is just another stupid idea in the state of California that's going to drive more people out and make our life here more difficult. On the subject of making life more difficult in California, the Orange County Register now has become kind of a spokesperson for government. The area saying no to housing is coming to an end, new California building laws 2024. So they're kind of trumpeting all these new bills. Now, one thing you know is, I think I previously reported how Governor Newsom one day signed 40 bills, which tells you he hasn't read any of them. Nobody reads all these bills. But what this Orange County now is, the Register is thrilled about, is that local cities won't be able to have housing codes to restrict, let's say, high-density housing, and the state's going to force them to accept more high-rises and high-density housing because the state government wants more people to be renters as well as to live in tall buildings and wants to prevent people from living the American dream of a single-family home with a white picket fence in their own yard. And so this is just a slew of laws where the state of California has been suing cities unsuccessfully. They said, well, we'll just pass a law and that will solve the problem. And it's just surprising the Orange County Register, which used to be a beacon of free market and freedom, has really jumped into the parroting the state government policy agenda. It's just really disappointing. Here's an interesting thing. You know, every week I look at Zillow, which used to be a good source of data and information. It's just become, I think, a marketing gimmick. The latest one is Zillow's chief economist 2024 market resolutions. And this is her wish list, Skylar Olson. She has a wish list. She wishes that more homeowners would sell. She wishes that more builders would build. She wishes that mortgage rates stay the same and that rates stay low and there's a good job market. And I just understand why Zillow would think this helps people to buy houses or rent houses. This is their wishes. Of course, everybody wants more jobs and lower rates and more people to sell and more inventory. Why is this unique to real estate? And why is this an economist? Like, how is their wish list somehow particularly I don't know, statistical in mind. It just seems silly to me. And I think though it's worse than that, because I think that Zillow and these other sources of the news constantly make homeowners and sellers think that the ability to get what they want is out of their control. You know, you could buy a house if rates come down. You can buy a house if inventory goes up. You can buy a house today. If you take control of your life and you cut your expenses, you make more money, you work hard, that's the American dream. And so more and more of these large corporations just want to have a group of serfs renting apartments in Orange County in high rises, like the previous article. And I think Zillow's economist just shows what a clown they are. And I just think this is going on and on and on. And frankly, I find it offensive as a professional in the market. Now, I do often take the news to test. This was a great article written in Business Insider by Phil Rosen, and the state of the U.S. housing market in 5 charts. So we'll go through the 5 charts, but I do want to say, when I did research who Phil was, and I clicked on it, and it turns out, oh, look at this. Master of Science at the University of Southern California. Fight on, he's a fellow Trojan. So no wonder I don't know he's particularly experienced in real estate, but he did some research, and I think he came up with what I think are really 5 charts that do give us great perspective. And since it's the end of the year or the beginning of the new year, let's take a look at them, because I do think it will help us understand where the market is. First chart, affordability index. I've often said I think this is just a scam that the politicians are using to make it sound like there's some boogeyman out there that is unsolvable, therefore they're not accountable, as opposed to really taking responsibility. Their government's taking too much money and spending it and sending it elsewhere rather than helping us keep our money and encouraging us to buy houses. And take a look at this from a historical perspective, though. This is 1981. I'm sorry, right here is 1985. 30 years worst affordability, my entire career almost. The affordability has been better and now has dropped just in the last 2 years. That's been the disaster of the post-pandemic period. And now we're out of it to some degree, and it's still low. It's just staggering when you look at the depth of this change. And in the past, we had a couple of periods where it got worse, and then things got tremendously better around 2010, the 2008 housing crisis. And we lost all that progress just in the last 2 years. And with no real hope or I don't think attention to solve the problem, because you can talk about housing affordability, but it really gets down to an individual, their ability to make money, their ability to save money, and their ability to keep money. That's what we don't talk about. We hide behind the term housing affordability. But look at the actual statistic. Second, take a look at the difference of interest rates between the current rates that are held by homeowners and the market rates. And when you lay down a curve, the last time it was this dramatically different was like in the 1970s. So this is a historic anomaly where homeowners can't have a much lower rate than what's available to buy a new house. Therefore, they're not likely to sell. And I remember these years, this is when I got in the business in 86, how bad the market was, how few sales there were. And I think that as long as this condition exists where we're at now, that number's not going to change of sales dramatically. Look how long it took for that to resolve. Here it was about a, 10-year period, 8-year period, and we're just a year or two into it. So this could last for another 6 years easily. And also notice, part of the solution was to raise rates from the 8s until almost 12, 11%, which means that, you know, if you have to raise rates 3% more than they are now to help close that gap. So when you look at a long-term perspective, this anomaly of interest rates isn't something that's going to change tomorrow in all likelihood based on history. It could be 7, 8 years more of this anomaly where there's very lower sales. And part of the solution might be inevitably raising of interest rates, which would be harmful for almost everybody in the market other than wealthy and investors. Another graph he put on was the stock performance of home builders versus the standard stock market. And what you can see is that home builders are having a tremendous time right now. Where they can build houses, people want to buy houses. So a big part of the problem, like here in California, when I started my career, there were so many new home builders all over Southern California. And we still have plenty of land. We have plenty of empty land. But as a state, we've decided we don't want to build new communities. We want people infill and more density. We want people renting and living in high rises. And as a result, here in California, there's no building. In Texas, Florida, Arizona, Nevada, there's building. And you can see there's demand for new homes. Tremendous. In fact, there's another chart that he has. Let me see if I have it here next. Yeah. New versus existing home sales. And what you see is the existing home sales have plummeted way more than the new homes. The new homes demand is still staying there to some degree. Why? Because I think this is more geographically driven. There is an economic effect of the economy. But you can see throughout history, they've pretty much been aligned. There was a separation where resales exceeded tremendously. But that has turned around now. And you can see that new home builders, there's demand for that product way exceeding the resale market. And the reason why is I think because those new home builders are in areas where they're allowed to build. And that really gets down to government policy. And then the last chart he had I thought was excellent was the multifamily serious delinquency rate. And you can see that these numbers have last been seen in the housing crash. These are multifamily apartment buildings and delinquencies. And what happens now is you have people who built, who bought multifamily buildings, and they wanted to improve them. So they got a bridge loan, or they bought it with like a 5-year loan. They're going to improve it. And now it's time to refinance that loan, and the rates have jumped up, and they can't afford to do it. And this is what drove Grant Cardone, one of my coaches and invested in teachers, to say this is the opportunity of a lifetime for small investors, because now you don't have to buy the whole building. You can go in with other investors as a limited partner and buy a small portion. I've done this myself in Florida and Texas, and they're doing really well. But this is a number that, the graph has gone up. It might continue to go up. But it really portends, I think, tremendous pain in the investment world of multifamily. And where there's pain, there's opportunity for investors to take advantage of it. So again, I think there's some good perspective on the real estate market going back over a period of time. So at the end of the day, what should you do? Well, it depends on what you're looking to do. If I can help you, if you're looking to buy or sell, let's get a plan together that works for you and helps you get the results you want. I'm Bill Gross. I'm on social media at Bill Gross Probate, or call, text, or email me. And if you like this video, please like it. Watch the next one in the series if you want. And as always, make today your best day ever. Thanks so much.